The ghosts are here. The ghosts are here, needing to be fed with answers to the questions of the restless dead. There are dark thoughts circling in my head. I wish I'd listened to everything they said. The ghosts are here.
Welcome to the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast.
Welcome. I am delighted to have as our guest today, Hilary Marek, who is an actor, director, producer, writer, claymation animator, and improviser. She's also the host of the fishing show, Duck Duck Fish, which streams live on Instagram. Hilary also has some abilities that most of us don't. I'm not sure how you'd like to characterize it. How would you describe yourself in terms of things that you can see and experience that a lot of other people can't?
I'm weird. I'm a weird kid. That's what it is. No. So I've had an near-death experience, and that has heightened it. But my entire life, I've seen auras. I've done EEGs, EKGs, I've done CAT scans, I've done full MRIs on my brain to figure out why I am seeing things. I am not schizophrenic. I've been tested for across the board. I'm ADHD, but nothing else is really wrong with me. I don't have any kind of form of schizophrenia. In late years, literally the last couple of years, I've developed astigmatism, which can be a reason why I see like rainbows or like light flares around light objects, but it doesn't explain away the ghost. So it's something I've always had and been able to do. My grandmother could, my aunt could, my sister does, and my youngest child does. So apparently it's something, you know, ancestral, because it does run in the family. I don't know a time I ever didn't see things. What I see is different from what a lot of psychics, quote-unquote, medium C. I can work within energy. Every single thing on this earth has an energy field around it. Everything. Every living thing on earth. Also, a lot of inanimate objects that are touched often have residual energy on them. I can see that energy. I can see that aura. I can teach you how to do it. I can teach anybody how to do it. If we took in everything, we would just be too overstimulated. We wouldn't be able to function. So our brain filters things out for us. One of the things it filters out are auras. And it's something that's scientifically proven. It's something that can be seen. It's just training your brain to be able to do it. And so I see this. There is what I call a webbing all around us at all times. Different energies that connect us all that I'm able to work within. So I can see and communicate with spirits at times. My brain also is not always on high function. My brain also needs a break. So I can turn it off and on. I have to really get zoned in to be able to do it. But as a kid, I could see it all the time, and it was maddening. I mean, genuinely maddening. So it's something with time I've learned to control. Did that make sense?
It made sense to me. And yeah, people in the audience are responding as well. When you say you see auras, does the person need to be in front of you? Do you actually need to see the person? Or can you see auras long distance? Like when you're talking to someone on Clubhouse, can you see their aura even though you can't see the physical person?
Aura is just something I can see in front of me. However, your energy field, which is different from your aura, I can connect with. If you are sitting remotely where you're at and you are honed into your own energies and you are able to be open to receive. Everyone's heard the Hotel California song, "We're all programmed to receive." Very much like that. If you are open to receive, I can find you in the astral field. I can find you. And if I can connect to you, that I can literally tell you what's in your bedroom right now. You can have a cat in front of you and I'll know exactly what your cat looks like. I can connect with your energy if you're open to receive. And there are people, Kristen Lashy is one of them, Trey Urban, good friend, and she's a very powerful medium herself. I saw her grandmother who was trying to stop me from touching Trey's energy. And I was able to describe exactly what her grandmother looked like, smelled like, sounded like, what clothes she was wearing, what her name was. I was able to tell her what the inside of her living room looked like. The fact that Trey was only over there usually for Christmases, I was able to tell her a Christmas ornament that Trey had broken one year. The grandmother told me that she wanted to make sure Trey was feeding her dogs. Unfortunately, the grandmother died many, many years ago, and the dogs have long since followed. But the grandmother was showing me in her lap where her little lap dog would have been and wanted to make sure Trey was taking care of it. So when I can connect with somebody who is aware and able to connect with me, there's no limit there.
Thank you, Hillary. So let me start from a base level to get a sense of how much our teachings have in common, where there might be differences. So let me tell you first what I've been taught, and the information on my end is because I'm a ghostwriter. In fact, let me introduce myself. I'm Hi Bender, a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author and ghostwriter whose books have sold over 1 million copies. I've done 19 books under my own name for such top publishers as Penguin Random House and HarperCollins, and I also help clients who want to create their own books or who want to develop a screenplay or a TV series. If you might be interested in my services, please visit my book site at bookproposal.net. That's bookproposal, one word, .net, or my movie and TV writing site at hi, that's H-Y, hionyourscript.com. As a ghostwriter, I have worked with more than my share of mediums and folks with gifts similar to yours. And what my spiritual clients have taught me is we're spirits. We were spirits before we came here to wear bodies here on Earth. And after our bodies pass, we will return to the spirit realm. So we're spirits before we're born. We're spirits after we pass away. We're essentially here on Earth to learn and grow spiritually. Wearing the body here on Earth is a way for us to learn lessons, difficult or impossible for us to learn as spirits. It's also important not just to learn a lesson, but to remember it so that when you pass, you take it with you to your next existence. The idea is that this is not our only life here. This is a phase of learning, and then we go to spirit realm, and then we go and potentially assume another body or go somewhere else to learn the same way or a different way. There is escalating levels of growth for us to reach that are immense. It's not like you live a life and then you go to heaven. No, you live a life and then you return to the spirit realm and then you go back and have some other learning experience. And then you return to spirit realm again, and so on, a lot, many iterations. But you're hopefully continually growing as you go through that process. Eventually, you get to a point where you can rejoin the source of existence because you've reached the heights possible for you to reach. And then all of your experiences through all your learning is added to the collective wisdom and knowledge of all of us, of existence. And what is the point of that? I'm not sure, but I did ask that question once. And the answer I got was initially everything was just one thing. And it wasn't very, productive or interesting. So for whatever reason, the feeling was there's not enough going on. We're just all together. We want diversity, you know? We want more stuff happening, want more experiences. So let's create divisions, and then the individual parts can all have our own experiences with each other and in conflict with each other. And from all of that learning and growing, the collective will grow and become greater. Like, there aren't a lot of things you can do as a spirit, as a soul, that are fatal, But the one thing that I'm told is fatal is if you stop growing, if you just become stagnant, if you just refuse or just can't grow past a certain level and you're just stuck, then your existence may just be obliterated. That's the one way I was told a spirit can just be no more, is if it stops growing. So that's kind of interesting and scary, but also kind of provides guidance for how to live our lives. Anyway, in a nutshell, we are not bodies. We are spirits wearing bodies. And this is not the only planet where this is going on. This isn't even the number one planet where this is going on. But it is an important planet, and everything we do matters. That's my sense of how things really are in terms of what I've been taught. It's helpful to know that we're here for a reason, and the reason is for learning and growing. Just that notion can have a profound impact on choices you make. As for ghosts, ghosts are kind of aberrations. They are spirits who, when the body dies, instead of rejoining the spirit world, which is the normal thing, they're still tethered to Earth for some reason, usually an emotional reason. They're not ready to move back to the spirit world. I was going to say move on, which is the mainstream conception, but it's not so much moving on, I think, as just returning to the real world. Based on what I've been taught, I think of the real world as the spirit world, and where we are is, in a way, a kind of a video game. You know, when you play a video game?
Simulation, yeah.
Yeah, there's a real you, and then you go into this game, and you play a character.
Your avatar. I said your avatar.
Yeah, and your avatar can do things that you couldn't do about the game, and so you play the game because it's fun, and you can do stuff that you otherwise couldn't do. But at some point, the game ends, and you go back to being you. And very often in a game, you will learn things, and you take those with you when the game ends. You still have those lessons. It's kind of like that. Also, in a game, you finish a level, and you go up to the next level, and you go up to the next level. And that's very similar to what I was taught we actually do. The people who created games may have subconsciously designed them based on what our spiritual lives actually are, because there is a lot of parallels between a video game and what our existence actually is. That's what I was taught. So Hillary, let me ask you, what is your knowledge? What have you been taught? What have you discovered that is different? What are points of contention?
I was taught that there is one God, God the Father Almighty. There is no other. You worship only that God. You don't actually read the Bible for its context because the Bible's a little bit skewed, you know, language barriers and all. And it may have got some misinterpretations. So you just listen to the priest and you follow what he says and you give him your money every month or every week because that's what you do. Welcome to America. You're a Christian. You have no other choice. That's what I was taught. Now, what did I find out to be real? None of that shit. Not a drop of it. What I found through dying, through having my near-death experience, was something that I'd always inherently known. And I think that's why it was very easy for me to not, I don't want to say to, I'm trying to think of the right words. It was very easy for me to let go of the things that I had learned from humans here and just set it aside. Because I became very aware that we are incapable as humans during our living time to be able to understand exactly what happens when we die. And if you do understand it, then you're like me probably, and you're going to spend the rest of your human life mourning your humanity, because I am. It is a deep, dark cloak that sits on me at all times, because I know that I will not be Hillary when I die. I will not be taking Hillary's form into the next level. I will not be Ryan's wife. I will not be Squishy's mom. I will not be this person. When I die, my energy is reabsorbed into the collective, like as you had mentioned. You got it pretty much right on a lot of accounts. Have you ever seen, oh God, not carousel, I forget what it's called, but as soon as somebody turns 30, they go up into the carousel. It's an old movie from like late 70s, I think. anyway, that's a good visualization of how we are kind of reabsorbed. Now, if you know anything about energy, you know that energy cannot be obliterated. It cannot be killed. Energy just changes form. So there is no way for your soul to truly die. Now, when you are at a high vibrating, now listen, everybody, this is the important part. This is the biggest message I brought back with me. When you are a high vibrating energy, which means you spent most of your life doing positive things without the need for being rewarded for it, without being pat on the back, you just did the right thing. You are constantly elevating others. You are always putting good into the universe. You are just high vibrating. You're not petty. You don't start rumors. You don't gossip. You don't lie. You don't hurt people. You're not violent. You're just high vibrating. That energy will match with the energy that comes back when the baby takes the first breath. That is the energy that becomes that child's soul. We are all mixed in, though. It's a big melting pot. So it's not going to be Hillary. It's going to be Hillary and High and Lois and Alyssa. It's going to be all of us, all of our, and Sonia, it's going to be all of our energies. So the child isn't born with the memories of Hillary's life, which is why it fascinates me when people have these past life experiences, because it's many energies together in one. So that's how we come back together. That's why we meet somebody and you're like, I feel like I've known you forever. Well, yeah, your energies intermingle with people. It was very sad for me to find this out, because I had always heard and understood that my afterlife would be me, Hillary, as a ghost, going to heaven in this place where I'd have this huge palace, and I would be with Jesus, and I would be with my dead pets and my family and friends, and we would all have dinner and it would be great. When I died, that's not what I experienced. I saw things very much on a molecular scale. I was able to move things, table or something like that, like just swipe my hand right through the table and everything. Just quantum physics is probably the closest to a real religion that you're going to get. Learn it. Quantum mechanics is what explains our afterlife. There is one source energy. Imagine yourself as a cartoon character, okay? All these butterflies are on your skin. They all make up you, all right? You are able to kind of explode yourself, and the butterflies go everywhere. But then they all come back together, right back together, and form you again, all right? So you get it? Got it in your mind, kind of like that? That's kind of what source energy is. We are all those little butterflies. So we go, but we come back. Source energy is not source without all of us. We all come right back to the source, because that's what our mission is. It's what we do. We seek out the light, just like a little moth or a butterfly. We seek out the light and we come here or there or wherever we're supposed to be. And our energy becomes our consciousness and we become who we are. We remember things. If you have dreams about, we're able to explore within ourselves during dreams, during times of deep meditation, even during times of deep mourning and deep pain. We are aware of our energy self, of our soul, but it takes a whole lot for us to get there. And we usually can't get there just normally day-to-day walking down the street. Somebody bumps into you, you're like, hey. You know, you forget that if somebody bumps into you, you're supposed to go, hey, are you all right? Literally, you're supposed to be high vibrating at all times. If you're not, and you're one of those people who's out hurting children, if you're a ditty in the world, you're not going to come back as a human. Your energy isn't there. Your energy will be dispersed into sea slug, whatever it needs to be. Your energy gets put back wherever your energy is here right now. So focus your energy on doing good. And you will come back into being a blessed, good being. It might not be human, but you're going to come back as something good. And you're going to keep vibrating. And you're going to keep raising level until all levels are vibrating back onto our conscious level. Until you can elevate to the point where, because we are all one, we're all part of the same energy. You've got to remember everything you do to somebody else, you've just done to yourself. Because we are all part of one source energy. So by helping and doing good, you're bringing others back into source with you. Does that make sense? It is so hard to explain, which is why I usually don't try to explain it. You gotta put me on the spot there. But do the right thing by animals, by people, by children, by adults, by anybody you can. Just do good for them and you will innately be doing good for yourself by helping others. Because when you raise the vibration of everything, you're getting us all closer to the goal. Our ultimate goal is we are all trying to vibrate on the level where we could all just be home with source at all times. So keep doing the right thing and you're getting us closer to the goal. We've all got to elevate. And then we don't have to go through the pain anymore. We don't have to go through the suffering. We don't have to die. We don't have to go through any of it anymore. We are exactly what Christian people talk about when they talk about heaven, God. The Bible does say, you know, heaven is within you and all around you. The kingdom of God is within you and all around you. And that's true. There's so many things in the Bible that are absolutely 100% correct. But people read it wrong. they interpret it wrong. And so humans will come back and say the wrong thing out of the interpretation of the Bible. If you read the Bible carefully and with knowledge I've just given you, the aesthetic knowledge, you will understand that the Bible says exactly that. Jesus came down here, part of source energy, but he was complete. We are not complete. We are constantly collecting and learning and knowing and growing. And if we can take all that we've learned and we can do good in spite of and because of it, then we become part of source and we can go home. And when we are all together, like those little butterflies all coming back to form one being, we all get to be together. I don't know what happens then, but that's what we're here for. That's our goal.
So there's a lot of similarities. There are some differences. For example, I'm taught that there's a fundamental you, and you don't lose that you when you go into a spirit world. In fact, some of my clients communicate with their relatives, and their relatives...
I forgot to touch on that. Yeah, the ghost thing. Ghost, you're right. Exactly what you said is correct. When I run into a ghost, it is somebody who, for whatever reason, they cannot let go of the humanity. Like I said, I'm mourning my humanity because I know that everything individual as I am does not carry on with me. I take the good and I take my energy and that becomes, but who I am in the physical form is not going to be the same as what my energy and my conscious self is. It's just not. We don't look like that. We don't move like that. But there are some people who are so ingrained in the who they are, they cannot accept. And a lot of times these are negative beings. These are people who are so negative in their life, but they are so greedy and so hungry that they hold on to themselves. Or these are people that loved so hard and so strongly somebody they can't let go of them. Or they were killed in a way that they can't comprehend that they are not still living. So they keep repeating that death. Those are echoes. And there are the people who are connected to other people who won't let go, like Trey's grandmother. Trey's grandmother was only there because she was trying to protect Trey and guide her. And so she was trying to protect her from me until she realized that I was not there to do harm. So there is that. There are people who do stay behind because they are so attached to being human that they can't comprehend being part of anything else. So they hold on to what they have there. Corporal self is not your spiritual self, if that makes sense. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I'm taught differently. My understanding is that when you pass, you return to the spirit world. There's something important that I skipped, which is when you're a spirit, you have an understanding of a whole bunch of stuff that we don't when we're here wearing bodies, and that's on purpose. Because if we knew everything we knew as a spirit, we wouldn't be able to achieve the kinds of learning lessons and growth that we're here for. Kind of defeat the purpose to put us in bodies. So there is something that is apparently called the veil, which is placed over our minds when we're here wearing bodies. The veil makes us forget all the stuff we knew as spirits, temporarily. It makes us forget while we're here. You know, when I say we forget, there's kind of like two parts of us. There's our conscious mind and there's our subconscious. I don't know if our subconscious forgets. Maybe our subconscious remembers everything, but is very selective about what it shares with us, because our subconscious is to some extent a protector of us and is trying to do what's best for us. And the veil is there for our benefit so that we can learn and grow in ways we couldn't if we remembered everything from the spirit world. But once we pass, the veil goes away and we remember everything. So the way you're describing it sounds a little bit like a subtraction. You know, I was Hillary here, then when I become a spirit again, I'm not Hillary anymore. What I was taught is...
It's not a subscription. It's exactly the opposite. It is the absorption and the addition of all of the others that have come before me.
Oh, so that's fine. Returning. I don't disagree with that. Yes. Yeah. You don't lose... But you made it sound like you lose Hillary. You don't lose Hillary. You just gain all your other past lives and you gain all the knowledge that you have as a spirit. But you don't lose... I mean, you're not Hillary... exactly the way you were here, where all you had was Hillary, but the Hillary becomes part of your collective spirit persona. But you're not losing, you're just gaining. For example, one of my clients, her daughter tragically got killed in an auto accident, and then my client started talking to her daughter in the spirit realm. Her daughter wasn't a ghost. Her daughter wasn't tethered to Earth. Her daughter had transitioned normally to her spirit world, but from spirit world, thanks to her mother's efforts, she was able to communicate. They had conversations for like 25 years. So her daughter didn't stop being her daughter. Her daughter had all her memories from when she was human, but she was also more than that. When she was talking to her mom, she talked to her like her daughter. There was more to her than that, but she had no trouble communicating with her mom as, you know, her daughter, and telling her she loved her and remembering everything that happened when she was alive. So she didn't lose herself. She didn't forget her life. She also had her past lives, so she was bigger than that. And this is maybe unpleasant for some. Don't take it. I mean, I don't know, you know, but it has been said to me that when someone falls in love with someone here and then one of them passes away and the other one assumes that their partner will be waiting for them, it's a little bit, I mean, it's a beautiful and romantic notion, but, you know, when you're a spirit, you got a lot of stuff going on. You're not just waiting to resume the life you had here. You're living your spirit life. When the other person passes on and returns to spirit realm, of course, you know, happy to see each other, but not like pining. I mean, because you have a very full life as a spirit, you know, which is why the concept of when someone passes and you say rest in peace couldn't be further from the truth, because spirits have very, very active lives. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. Nobody's resting as a spirit. Anyway, does that make any sense to you, Hillary?
I can only speak from what I experienced. I'm very cautious about listening to other mediums or people that I don't know. And I don't know your friend or her situation. I don't know the whole story of it. So I don't want to make any judgment on that. My brother was murdered when I was 16. He was 19. And I was shot in the arm, he was shot in the chest. And his girlfriend, who was my best friend, shot herself sitting on the end of his bed while we were all at his funeral. So I dealt with death at a young age. In my mind, I see them together. However, I have tried many, many times over the years to contact either her or him, because they both died tragically. They're not ghosts. They're not there. I have searched the ether. They are not there. What that means, I don't know, and I don't ask. Because I'm not supposed to know. We're not supposed to know everything. And if we did, we might not be living the lives that we live. Knowing these things messes up our trajectory here on Earth. So I try not to go too deep into those subjects, only because some people desperately need to cling to what they have for their own spirituality to be able to be the good people that they are. So I don't want to derail anyone on that. What I will say is that I have not found my brother. I have, however, talked to my father's sister, who was killed tragically before I was born. Never met her. My Angie, I never met her. However, talk to her often. When I use any kind of tools, pendulum, anything like that, any other kind of divining things, she comes through very clearly, very easily. So I've seen her in corporeal form. Why? I don't know. I never knew her in real life. So there's no reason for her to cling to me. She's got two kids of her own and grandkids and great grandkids. So I don't know why she comes through me. Maybe she's just talking to me because I'm the only one who can hear or understand her. And I can see her. I didn't, you know, so I see her often. Most of the times you have to call for a spirit. Do you have a spirit team who looks after you and cares for you at all times? Who is here for your greater good? Who you can call on at any time? Some people call them guardian angels. Some people call them spirit team. Whatever you want to call them, they're there. Don't hesitate to call on them, because their entire existence is about making sure that you get what you need to get out of this life. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich and famous. That doesn't mean they're going to put you up to where you've got a billion loving people who are all the time worshiping you. That means that you're going to get what you need to get. And that's the message I'm trying to give y'all right now, is that your job here is to elevate yourself and others around you at all times. So their whole job, their whole meaning and existence up there is to make sure that you are vibrating at a high enough level that you can be part of what we need to be part of when you leave. As far as your friend conversing with her daughter, I don't doubt that. Her daughter not having any reason to stay, that might be different. My Aunt Gina's not here all the time, but when I call upon her, she is. I know this is kind of not exactly what you were asking, but reality is layered. We are not lineal beings as we think we are. Time does not work in a lineal fashion. Right now, in the exact same space that you are taking up on this earth right now, currently, there are many other things going on around you that you cannot see. They are on different frequencies. You can't see them. There are many different beings. Space exploration and looking for aliens in space, they're here. They're just a different frequency. Sometimes we see things out of the corner of our eye and we think, oh, that's just my mind playing tricks on me. No, it wouldn't. When you wake up and you are having a sleep paralysis and you see something, then you're like, oh no, I was just still kind of dreaming. No, you weren't. That was there. Like you mentioned the veil, our brains protect us. So we don't see everything going on at all times. But every once in a while we do. We're able to see the spirit world. We're able to see other monsters in the closet. We're able to see certain things because these are all things that are happening in the same time and space that we're taking up. It's just on a different frequency. So yes, she absolutely could be talking to her daughter this entire time, but it's because the daughter is with her, not because we stay as we were when we die. I hope that helped.
Okay, so a few things. When you're saying that we each have a spirit team, I was taught something similar. You could call them angels. Well, there is a distinction because I was told angels. And angels are different from because spirits are people.
Spirits are humans. Angels are a classification of a higher vibrating form that we hope to take someday. But angels are pre-existing before humans.
Well, let's just say angels are different. Without getting into hierarchies, angels are a different form from spirits. So I was taught angels. But the idea that the spirit team, you said their whole job is to watch over you. That's where we differ. Because my conception of a spirit realm is you got a lot of stuff going on. So they could be looking after you, but that's not their whole job. You know, I imagine looking after you is one of many things that they do. That's why I'm saying rest in peace is such a misnomer, because I imagine a spirit doing a lot of multitasking and having a lot of things on their plate. Also, we haven't talked about this yet, but time,
I was just going to bring that up. I'm glad you said it. I was going to say time is different.
Time is an illusion that makes our living in bodies easier. So time is an illusion created for us, in a sense, so that we can live with bodies. But the reality is, and when you're in the spirit realm, it's much more complicated. The past, the present, and the future don't exist distinct. Everything's kind of happening all at once, but it's also dynamic and changeable, which is very confusing. And in fact, I think is one of the things, Hillary, were you referencing things we can't wrap our minds around? This would be in that category. Buzz Lightyear, his catchphrase is, to infinity and beyond. There is no such thing as going beyond infinity. What he's doing there is taking the concept of infinity and limiting it so it can wrap his mind around it. As humans, we have a tendency to want to wrap our mind around things, put a label on something, but part of being spiritual is accepting there are things that are beyond our comprehension as humans wearing bodies. And there are things beyond our comprehension, I imagine, in the spirit realm as well, that there's all kinds of stuff going on. You mentioned things at different vibrations. There are all kinds of things that we don't see, we don't perceive. I have no doubt of that. I just imagine that there's way more than we imagine, that there's many, many things we're not perceiving on many different levels. Accepting that there are things we can't wrap our minds around is good. It's good to say, just because I can't fully understand it doesn't mean I shouldn't embrace it. So that's the way I think of how time is an illusion, but still I personally find it an extremely helpful illusion. Like I scheduled this room for 1 p.m. Eastern and I opened it up on the dot 1 p.m. Eastern because I like to be punctual. So just because it's an illusion doesn't mean you can't work with it. As long as we're on this level, it makes sense to play by the rules of this level. We go up a level, different rules. Play by the rules of that level.
I like how you see things as games. I love it.
I'm glad. This concludes part one of my conversation with Hillary Merrick. Please click the next link for part two.
This has been the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast. Please come haunt us again soon.
Ghost ride the whip.